When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
NYYST. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Swinging for the fences. Knock it out the park. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Christian and Chris. Of course, SGR. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Call me New York. Yankee sports talk. Record rain or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST. You're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 441 of the NYYST podcast. We're here live on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
You all right?
No.
No. You don't look all right. What's the matter?
Long week.
Yes, it's a long week. We are fastly approaching Christmas Day, which is 6 nights from now, so all the preparation that goes along with that, and the holiday season, the hustle and bustle, as the kids say. So, you know, please, if you're in the chat tonight, we want you to like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground while you're here, and if you're listening Friday morning on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And a little teaser for later on, we have the first interview, okay? First interview of somebody very important since somebody very important left the New York Yankees. Can you put one in one?
Wonder who that could be.
You weren't here for it. I conducted the interview exclusively on Wednesday night. It was me and this person one-on-one. I banned the use of a certain four-letter word name on this show last week. I had to lift the ban in order to conduct the interview, but I think it was worth it.
You also used it in your Twitter post?
Yes, but I only banned it on the show. I didn't ban it on social
TikTok,
media.
Twitter, that's, or X, that's allowed.
Okay, it's banned on this show. It's not banned everywhere else. So since the last time we sat down here and we talked, the Yankees are continuing to roll out Plan B. Devin Williams is a New York Yankee. Nestor Cortez is no longer a New York Yankee. That trade came down Friday afternoon. And then, when was it? Monday? Tuesday? What day is it? Today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday.
When did they trade for Cody Bellinger? That wasn't yesterday, was it?
No, Monday.
This is what the problem is when the days start blending together and you can't tell what day is what.
I was in salting early in the morning on Monday, and since then I've just been like On autopilot.
No, Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. The Yankees finally acquired Cody Bellinger. It seems like this has been a trade the Yankees have been working on since 2023. They were trying to get Cody Bellinger from the Cubs at the deadline in 23 or prior to it. And the Cubs decided that they were in. They were going to stay in the race. They didn't trade him. And then they re-signed him because the Yankees then they didn't really need Cody Bellinger. They brought, you know, Rizzo was here. Then they brought in a right fielder. And then they brought in Alex Verdugo. So then they didn't really need Cody Bellinger. And now they do. So we'll work backwards here. I do really love this Cody Bellinger trade. People are saying he makes too much money. He's not the MVP of 2019. And he probably isn't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I expect Cody Bellinger to be the MVP caliber player that he was in 2019. But he's very versatile and he's very athletic. And those are two things the Yankees desperately needed, as we saw play out in the World Series. And I think his lefty swing is going to play up at Yankee Stadium. We're not asking Cody Bellinger to be an MVP here. We're asking Cody Bellinger to be a guy to play great defense and hit 25 to 30 home runs. And I think it gives the Yankees a lot of flexibility. Look, they gave up Cody Petit, a swing guy, a back of the rotation guy. He was probably going to be 6 or 7 on the depth chart this year. They didn't give up a lot. They got a couple of bucks back in return, basically offsets the money that they sent to Milwaukee in a Devin Williams trade. People are down on this trade. I don't know what to tell you. This is a very good maneuver from the Yankees. Does it elevate them to another level? No, but it was a necessary piece that they need for 2025.
It was a solid pickup. It doesn't make it anything. It's not like they like an Andrew Benintendi or something like that. It's you got a solid defensive player. I watched a montage today. I didn't have time to look at the graph, but I think 9 of his home runs this past season would have not nine of his home runs. 9 of hits he had this past season would have been home runs in Yankee Stadium. So I think it'll play out very well for him, hopefully, at the stadium, you know, and elevate his numbers a little bit. But you just need a solid contact hitter, need just a defense, and I'm really dragging ass. My apologies.
Do you need some caffeine here?
No, man. You know what it is too? Like, we're having like a party at work, and I've kind of been like sugar free for like 2 years, and my wife gave me like these cakes. And
you're crashing right now.
Yeah, like after I ate them, one slice of cake had over 1,000 calories in it. I didn't notice that. And then the other one I had 700. So I'm like really, really not feeling good at the moment. So
that's all right. I told you last night, I put down at least 1,500 calories of Christmas candy.
Yeah, like I'm like fighting through this. This is like,
I don't really care, bro. It's Christmas time.
Well, Snickers, that was my idea, but now I'm kind of like regretting my decisions.
Snickers trees are elite. White fudge covered Oreos are elite. And once they shape the little Debbie brownie into a Christmas tree, it becomes a whole different animal.
Oh, then the calories don't count. Christmas.
No, they don't. Christmas calories don't count. This is what people don't understand. So you can cheat at Christmas time.
Well, I did. Well, it all started with the butter cookies. And then from there on, see, you can really get me engaged when you talk about food because I'm a fat kid at heart. You know, I'm trying to be good, but.
And Hirsch said this might be the first Cody for Cody trade in history. I believe it definitely, according to Sarah Langs, it was the first Cody for Cody trade in Major League Baseball history for sure.
Cody for Cody trade. So now was his father was on the Yankees?
Clay Bellinger, yes.
So he hit his first home major league home run as a Yankee, correct?
I would believe that to be true.
I would think that'd be cool. I mean, it's nice to actually get a player in a trade that wants to be here.
No, he's pumped. He seems excited. And it was, Bob Nightingale, who's known to get things wrong. He's like Mr. Magoo of baseball reporters. Like 3 minutes after the trade went down, said that Cody was told that he was playing center field, and then both Boone and then Bellinger today said that was fake news. Okay, so
yeah, they at the Freed press conference the other day, they said that it was fake news.
T. Caskets in the chat said Reese's Christmas trees. You know what ruined Reese's for me? The peanut butter and Reese's? Quest peanut butter cups.
They are good. See, again, sugar-free. They are really good. And then you told me to put them in the fridge, and I started doing that. Oh, but then that's my other problem. I'd be walking down the steps at 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and then I'd be eating them, and then purposefully I leave my wrapper out so my wife sees what I ate in the morning. And she hasn't bought them. They're expensive too.
You got to get them on Amazon.
I do, but it's ridiculous. And then the one time they sent them to me, they're all white. So then I complained. They sent me another box. I still ate the white ones. It is.
Yeah, I mean, you ate them still. So what are you complaining about?
Yeah.
The best in the sun is in the summertime is that they don't refrigerate them in shipping and the trucks get hot, so they melt.
They come melted, yeah.
And then you throw them in the freezer and it's just basically one big bar, but then you tell them that it was melted, so then you get them for free. See, it's a hack.
It's a hack. Yeah, well.
So, and here's another thing here why I love the Cody Bellinger trades a lot here is because, as I was mentioning earlier, is the versatility of Cody Bellinger. The Yankees need another outfielder. They also need a first baseman. So it allows the Yankees to be flexible in what they want to do here. If they find a better deal on, say, I don't know, Anthony Santander, but I don't know. He's not a very good defensive outfielder, but that's the quickest way that the Yankees can replace 40 home runs is bringing him in. And then maybe that's the route they want to go. And then
when they'll probably decide to stick Bellinger at first base.
Or if they find a better deal at first base, because there seem to be many more options at first base, Cody Bellinger becomes your center fielder. Now
there's not a lot of good defensive. I was trying to like go through the list of like who's available and whatnot, and then obviously trades are different, but there's not a lot of really great defensive outfielders on there on the market. So I think that it'd be easier to get the first baseman.
Yeah, there's free agents available where it's just gonna cost you money. So it does open that up. And you know, who's gonna play left field? Well, that should be Jason Dominguez. Brian Cashman said at the Max Fried conference that he would like to see Jason Dominguez get a shot this year. Well, hello, Ding Dong. You're the one that would make that call. So, but he said that Dominguez was going to play every day, whether it was up here or down in Scranton. Look, man, at this point in Jason Dominguez's development, if he starts the year at AAA, I understand that he's still really young. He's going to enter, I believe, his age 21 season. That's not good for him.
No. If he doesn't start off this season, I think they'd just have been better off trading him and get the Yankees, bring something in.
If the Yankees don't bring an outfielder in and Jason Dominguez somehow can't beat out Trent Grisham.
Or Oswald Cabrera's playing left field.
An outfield spot, that's a problem.
Because I don't think we'll ever see Stanton in left field again.
No, Stanton's days as an outfielder are done.
So you got Dominguez, you got Cabrera, Trent Grisham. What else? What other options do they have?
You could find a fourth, fifth outfielder on the market easy. Yeah, but I'm just saying who the incumbent right now would be Trent Grisham. You know, that would probably, if they don't bring anybody in, that's who they would be battling, and that's just not going to be a good look for Jason Dominguez if he gets sent down to AAA and he gets sent down to AAA and then Trent Grisham starting in the outfield on opening day. We got a first super chat tonight from JX88. Easy, just trade for Yandy. He can play third base, first base, done. Okay, Yandy Diaz is a nut. Go ahead.
You think that the Tampa Bay would want to? They'd be like the Astros, be wanting the moon and the stars. Why? You know what I'm saying? I'd go for Yandy Diaz.
Yandy Diaz is an intriguing option because of the on base, and then he can hit. He can lead off for the Yankees. Yeah. He's not gonna remind anybody of Don Mattingly over at first base, but he can play the position. It's Pete's a big Yandy Diaz guy. I wouldn't hate it. I mean, I don't know what other realistic options there are for the Yankees. We can talk about them here. Obviously, you go out and get another outfielder, and Cody Bellinger's your first baseman. Fine. That works for me. People are saying play Santander, sign Santander, play him at first base. I mean, he's got very limited experience out there, but these are the Yankees. They love to play people out of position. We traded for Jazz Chisholm, and you've seen he's been playing third base, never played third base before, you know, playing third base in the World Series. He wants, I almost said it, can't say that word, okay? You know, was a right fielder. He played left, I believe, played left field majority of his career. Aaron Judge, not a right, is a right fielder, played center field. We're playing John Birdie at first base in the postseason. You know, Ben Rice was a catcher, called up as a first baseman. I mean, the list goes on and on for the Yankees. So it wouldn't surprise me for them to sign a guy and then move him to a position that he hasn't really played a lot in his career. So,
yeah, well, I think they need to start getting people too, like you said, Chisholm playing third base, typically play second or outfield. How is that play out now with Fried being left-handed pitcher, contact pitcher? Don't you think that they would have to upgrade third base? Because do you think that maybe his arm wasn't strong enough, or do you think he was having trouble getting the first base because he was still getting used to the position?
The way I always read Jazz Chisholm is that I thought the arm was fine. I think he let the ball play him, and he wasn't aggressive at third base, which is a problem. You have to attack the ball at third base.
Good insight, teaching me something.
So Nathaniel Lowe is a name, you know, chat's been bringing up. A lot of people were bringing up, you know, you want to trade him, you know, make a trade with the Texas Rangers. We got another chat here from Mike Lino. Sup, everyone. Signing a 1-year deal for a first baseman would allow the Yankees potentially sign Tucker and move to Bellinger to first base if he opts to stay.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, I'm not really worried about, honest to God, guy, I'm not worried at all about 2026 right now. The Yankees were just in the World Series. The Yankees lost a major component to that World Series team. And now we have to build this team back up to get them back to the World Series in 2025. We also have to remember, which is what I've been saying for years now, is and now it's really coming to a point where we can see the end of the tunnel here in terms of Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole playing at the top of their games here.
Oh, yeah. And then you see how they structured, I don't know if we talked about it last time, how they structured Fried's deal. He's getting he's taking 12 and a half. Is it 12 and a half this year, 12 and a half next year? And they split up his signing bonus.
Yeah.
And then it goes to 29 the years after that. So I think if they're going to do it, I think their plan is ultimately to do it this year or next year. After, you know what I'm saying?
The Yankees have to make a push here in 2025. You know, and that's the whole thing with the trade with San Diego in 2024. You know, that was a push to try to get to the World Series and win it. And they won their first pennant in 15 years. So you can never say that wasn't the right move, like we talked about last week. Now, here, what are they going to do to get themselves back to the World Series? You cannot take a step back, because if you look at what's happening in the American League, nobody is taking a step forward to close the gap between them and the Yankees. So, you know, the Mets made their big move, right? But what have they really done? Nothing. You know, their pitching is still very suspect.
Yeah, everyone's talking about how
and then it's really just the Dodgers. Are we looking at the Dodgers and the Yankees again? And if so, how do the Yankees now? The Yankees have to look at closing the gap in on the Dodgers, and that's another thing that you have to like really about Cody Bellinger is that it does allow the Yankees to have another athletic, guy with flexibility out there. We saw how that really killed the Yankees in the World Series.
Yeah. Well, my brain is stuttering. I'm having trouble today.
Well, have another cake.
Huh? No, it's everything. But no, I think that they're better off. They're, you know, everyone's questioning, are they better off now without that guy from right field, or are they better off this way? This is, I was one of the people that were afraid if they were to sign that guy from right field, you know, that they wouldn't have gone out and spent. I personally think that they would have gotten things done if that was the intention. So if they signed him, I don't think that these deals were happening. That's my personal belief, you know. So are we better off now? Are we the same? Are we worse off? I mean, offensively, we're looking better. Pitching-wise, I think that we're in a much better situation considering, you know, a walk-off home run in game one, I feel like changed a lot of the way things are going, and now we have an actual reliever. You know, things are changing. Things are happening. You know, I hope there's another two more components to Plan B that make everything much, much nicer. I think Bellinger was a great pickup, you know.
You know, if the way that whole game unfolded back in game one, you know, the right fielder throws the ball in, you know, Glaber doesn't corral it. Ohtani gets an extra base. He scores. The Yankees were up in that. The Yankees were up a run right there. So, I mean, the Yankees did not this is what Dodger fans can't cope with. Is that as much as they did beat the Yankees really handed them this World Series on a silver platter.
Absolutely. I mean, now you got Nestor going. Nestor's gone. I mean, obviously, these aren't pitchers that, you know, Fried and Williams, they're not pitchers that we watch all the time. They're from the National League. So, I'm trying to watch, like, videos and all. And this guy's got some nasty stuff, this closer, you know, and it's... But, like, then I'm reading about it. And then, so what I like to do is I like to go on, like, the interwebs, and I like to, like, go on maybe a Milwaukee Brewers fan page and stuff like that, and I'll read, like, what their people say. And a lot of people say he gives them heart attacks. So I'm like, I don't want to deal with that again. But I think that's just as fans, we all deal with, you know, we all get anxiety when your closer comes in, especially Yankee fans, you know.
I don't know.
You grow up watching Mariano.
His career ERA is half of Clay Holmes's, so I don't know how.
Well, you know, you watch Mariano pitch, you're used to having some.
Yeah, nobody's Mariano Rivera. So
then you go to everybody else, and it's like this guy's living in his shadow. They're never going to live up to what we're used to, what we want to see. We just have to be a little bit more.
And then Emmanuel Clase is as automatic is since the Mariano Rivera, yeah. And he pukes all over himself in the postseason.
Yeah.
So, I mean. We got another super chat here from Slim Lewis. They should start the Martian for 140 games or trade him for somebody very good like Ketel Marte. What are the chances they do neither and mess with him? Well, you know, I like Ketel Marte as a player, but if that's your return for Jason Dominguez, I mean, that just shows you what Dominguez's value is diminished to. He should be out there for 140-plus games this year. Let the kid play. You know, maybe this is the year the Yankees start bearing some of the fruits of letting Anthony Volpe suffer through these last 2 years, because I think Anthony Volpe really did start to turn a corner in the postseason. So maybe this is finally the year for him, year three. And maybe you finally give, you know, let Dominguez get a run here, especially if you don't have a better option. If you don't bring in a better option, you know, saying, oh, we're a better team with Trent Grisham, you know, no, you're not. You can't convince me of that. At least you give Dominguez to the All-Star break. Let's see what the kid has. Again, what are the other options?
Oh, they sit there and they stick through seasons with every other player. I don't know why they wouldn't try it with him. You know, I think that they've been talking about him. Maybe. So, Cashman talking up Durbin, talking up Durbin, don't think they're gonna let him go, then all of a sudden they trade him. Does that seem like, okay, is Cashman finally growing up and gonna start letting go of some of these coveted prospects, or is he gonna, you know, is he babying him? Is he gonna, you know, grow up some balls and do it with Dominguez now? Like, what's the deal? It's like,
Cashman has a very checkered history. Because people call him a prospect hugger, but he's really not, if you look at the amount of trades the Yankees do involve themselves in. It's just that there's certain guys, for whatever reason, then when he won't trade them, he doesn't play them either. So it's like he's in this weird mix of, like, people want to call him a prospect hugger, but he's not. But he's also very aggressive sometimes. But then he keys in on certain guys that he just doesn't do anything with. And I think that's what frustrates the fan base a lot.
Well, I mean, in the past, you know, a few years, you got Andujar, Florial. Oh, what the hell? My brain just went blank. Oh, Frazier. You know, those are just like they talk about him, and then they get nothing for him in return. And you just don't want to see that happen with Jason Dominguez, because he's supposed to be better than the three of them put together times 12. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you need to play him or get something for him before he's not worth anything.
You know, people were saying he was compared as a hitter to the guy that just went to the Mets, and like, well, that guy was up here at 19, you know, making all-star teams. Like, what's Dominguez is already behind that. So
yes.
If he's going to be considered that type of hitter, at least we need to see what he is now in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he didn't get hurt, maybe he got the start in that last year. So I would
and I think,
to start.
And I've been a big proponent of that if he didn't have to have Tommy John surgery, the Yankees probably don't go out and trade for Alex Verdugo, because Jason Dominguez is probably on the opening day roster in left field, maybe. I don't know. They could have given him a full spring training to get used to it. I think the small sample size of Jason Dominguez in left field is way overblown for people to sit there and say that he's a terrible defensive player. That was never the mark on him coming up in the minor leagues. Now, obviously, you know, he's a natural center fielder, but if the Yankees say to themselves now, going, you know, whatever it is in the next month or so, when they pretty much have the team set, they didn't get another outfielder, let's let Jason Dominguez be the left fielder, and he starts there from day one when position players report, and he plays left field, I think he'll be fine. I really do. I think he was just overblown, and he got stuck in a bad position, and then he's a young kid, and he maybe got in his own head a little bit. So if that's what the Yankees want to do, commit to him right off the jump in when everybody gets to Tampa. Okay, JXV88 with the super chat again said, I trade Spencer Jones any day, not Dominguez. Yeah,
Spencer Jones and Ben Rice are said that they're getting a apartment down in Tampa, and starting the new year, they're going down there early to get a jump on their development, the two of them together.
Yeah, Spencer Jones has all the tools in the world. He just strikes out way too much. He'll never be a good major leaguer with that strikeout rate. If he's doing that at Double A, God only knows when he gets in there against good lefty, okay lefty pitching at the major league level is going to eat that kid for lunch.
Yeah, we were there for his first Double A hit.
So, I mean,
and then it went downhill after that.
Definitely has all the tools to succeed. He's just got to put it all together.
Yeah, but that's another one. People all wanted him. I mean, and then I don't know. I think they need to start getting these guys and just shipping them off. It's as a fan, it's frustrating. That's like the most frustrating part. Like, you think you have. It's like you got these baseball cards that are worth so much money. You're like, ha 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 ha, and then you turn around, and next thing you know. Like Wander Franco, like, you know, then ball implodes on you. Like, I don't need, like, my players that you, like, we want to invest in, and then they turn out to be shit because they're held on to, or they never get to play, or they're pedophiles.
You can't say
that's
that.
Fresh in my head, because Wander Franco, they just moved his,
Okay.
Well, his stuff's getting moved. Did you see that?
What do you mean his stuff?
Like, it's getting postponed.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
That's funny. Loser. That's why it's fresh in my head.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody sunk a lot of money into his memory.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I saw people buying his cars for like $2,500, $3,000. Then all of a sudden, they can't give them away for $50.
Yeah, well, That's what happens. That's what happens.
It popped in my head because they said Yandy Diaz before, and then my brain went right to that asshole. So
you know, people like Jeff Passan, who, you know, I couldn't believe what I was hearing when 22 went to the Mets, and he said this might be a blessing in disguise for the Yankees. They could be better off without him. And I'm saying, I don't see it. Honestly, I don't see it. And now that we have made significant moves, and you can see what the vision is in this post-22 world. I'll get to that super chat in a second. That could the Yankees potentially be better? And they're not there yet, because this offense, even with Cody Bellinger, it's not really good, because you need another big time bat in there that you know can protect Aaron Judge. And you know, Kyle Tucker on Friday ended up going to the Cubs right around the same time as the Devin Williams trade happened. Look, man, as much as we sat here and talked about it and said that was the perfect replacement, you know, I know we talked up a big game here and I got excited about it, and that's sometimes just what we do on the show, but I really had a hard time believing that the Astros were going to pull off that type of trade with the Yankees and not get a stupid overpay on the Yankees' part, which you know Brian Cashman was just never going to do. So what bat is actually out there that the Yankees can acquire and protect Aaron Judge had that type of protection like he had last year? I don't see anything really out there on the trade market. And that's why I keep coming back. And Jesus, I can't believe I'm saying this.
Pete Alonso. I
see. To the idea of the Yankees signing Pete Alonso.
He's a good bat. He's not a bad defensive first baseman either. I think this last year he probably just got into his own head because he fell off the face of the earth. But then he got.
I've watched enough Met games to watch Pete, and he's not a butcher out there. Again, is he going to win a Gold Glove anytime soon? No, he's not going to. Pete Alonso is not going to win a Gold Glove anytime soon. But I don't truly think Pete Alonso is as bad as he gets a lot of credit. People credit him for at first base. He is pretty much a one-tool player. He's coming here to hit home runs, and that's it.
Yeah, because what last year was pretty crummy, but the year before he had a really good year, did he not?
Let's look up.
This is batting for average. You know, he wasn't trying. You know, the one year that him and Judge were just going neck and neck for home runs, but he's a solid hitter. I was trying to look at his numbers.
No, he's a career 249 hitter. I mean, this is what Pete Alonso's done in the last couple of years. Obviously, he broke Judge's rookie record in 2019 with 53 home runs. But then skipped the COVID year, 37, 40, 46. Down year for him last year with 34 home runs. Then 120, skipped the COVID year, 94, 131, which led the major leagues in 2022. He led the major leagues in runs batted in, 118 and then 88. So I don't know. And then here again, this is what kind of scares you about going to get a player, is that you see career lows in home runs, RBIs. Again, if you're taking out the COVID year, his OPS again, his first sub 800 OPS year. He went 941, 863, 869, 821, 788 last year. But the OPS plus was the same as it was in 2023, which was 123. He's a guy that can come in here and you know he's going to hit 35 home runs.
He's a guy that you could come in here and has already played in New York. He's just playing for a different team, so that helps too, because that's always the question. Can they handle New York? You know he can handle New York.
Pete Alonso's career OPS in the postseason, 1.003.
Oh.
I mean, that's pretty, not too bad.
Not
I know he
shabby.
Doesn't I know he doesn't have the it's a short sample size, I'm trying to say. He's got 16 games, but still, you know, obviously that's all Met fans want to remind you is that he hit the home run off of Devin Williams in game three of the wild card series. We know that. It's intriguing to me. After the Yankees lost out on a player they offered $760 million to, before even reacting to that, I said on X, don't do something stupid like sign Pete Alonso. And before that, I said Pete Alonso is not a consolation prize. And now here we are, 6 days before Christmas. If the Yankees pull off a Pete Alonso signing, I'm actually going to be okay with it.
It seems like it would work out. He'd probably fit in pretty well. I think
he's a weird guy. He is a weird guy.
He is. He's strange.
You saw him hump the guardrail, right?
Yes. Yes. I remember listening to, like, there was a comedy fundraiser thing that he did. He's weird.
He's not a bad guy. No. I think he's a goofball.
Yeah.
For certain.
Probably just like a jock. That's why he's a goofball.
No, he is. That's a perfect word for Pete Alonso. He is a jock.
He reminds me of Gronkowski.
Every douchey jock that you hated in high school, that's who Pete Alonso is.
He's like Gronk, correct? That's who he reminds me of. He's
maybe
like
a less dumb version of Gronk.
I like
I didn't Gronk. Say a smarter version. I said a less dumb version.
Is it me or is Cody Bellinger like high all the time?
Oh yeah, for sure. Let's get to Dozier Fays' super chat. What's your take on a Yandy / low trade? The price is right. Sure. I mean, the Yankees need a first baseman. They need either a second baseman or a third baseman. So, I mean, if the Rays are willing to deal with you and that's how you fill those holes and you're not giving up a ton. What always scares me, though, is that making a trade for the Rays and they want your pitching in return. That's what scares me. It's like, what do they know that you don't know?
At this point where I'm at, the only person that, out of all the talks and other things I see online, the only person I do not want on this team, like, I would be very upset, would be Bregman, because I hate Bregman. I just hate that whole team. I think a lot of people feel the same way, but that's like the only person. They could probably sign anybody that they've been talking about. I won't be mad. Bregman's the only person I don't want on this team.
You know, somebody in the chat said, you know, it's signing Alonso would be a horrible deal. There's no slam dunk option at first base for the Yankees. This is why I'm opening myself up to the world of a guy that humps guardrails. Okay, this is why I'm doing that, because Christian Walker is a 250-ish hitter. He's 34 years old. Are we getting Anthony Rizzo, basically a right-handed Anthony Rizzo now?
Yes.
I mean, let's look at it. Paul Goldschmidt is 37. He stunk last year. They're talking about if he did come in here, he'd be platooning with Ben Rice. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
At least we're talking about is Pete Alonso the safest bet for the Yankees at first base for what they need? They need a big bopper in the middle of this lineup.
What a chip. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove, especially if the Mets don't sign him back. I think it would work out well. And was he 31, 32 years old?
How old is Pete? Let's look that up.
I think he's 31. He's going to be 30. And he's coming off a shit year. So you're going to get him. Well, he's not a shit. But
he's just turned
year.
30. So he'll,
he just turned 30? Okay. He so he's 30. Even younger. So you're going to get him at a discount because he's going to have to. What did they offer him? They offered him like 6 years, $150 million or something. And he's not going to get anywhere near what he was. Is that what his extension was?
I forget what the Mets offered him, but he turned it down. I mean, could you?
Was a mistake.
Could you live in a world where Pete Alonso takes a 3-year deal with opt-outs after each of the year? You know, you give him $35 million a year. You know, three for 100 opt-outs after the first 2 years.
Why not?
Get creative, man. If the market's not there for Pete Alonso where he can't sign that long-term deal, and again, are the Mets really going to be, you know, they talk, say, we want Pete back. Okay. Why is it not done yet? That seemed like a slam dunk on both sides. And Steve Cohen's got this infinite amount of money. What's not to say to give Pete Alonso 7 years, 210 or whatever, you know, 618, whatever it is that would make him happy. I mean, you gave a guy 80% of $1 billion to play for you. and his mother a clothing allowance. And you and you made all your security guards go through a personality test to make sure they're not mean.
I that thing still gets me going. I can't believe that he has incentives. Like, how do you incentivize that? Like, how do you not just? It's still just mind blowing. And then I heard them talking online about it, about how he gets $500 for his first MVP, and then if he gets subsequent ones, it's $1 million each. Meanwhile, like, oh my God, Lindor, he's worth like $50,000 or something stupid like that. Like, my God, can you imagine?
I love when people are like, Pete's not taking, this is directly at some, they're not taking a 3-year deal, LOL. Well, first of all, LOL, you don't know what the market is, okay? We just saw Blake Snell sign essentially a 1-year deal. Jordan, you know, we don't know what the market is going to bear, okay? Now we're approaching Christmas. We got a major free agent that hasn't signed anywhere.
And if he has no offers, he's going to take the offer that he gets. If he gets
so
one,
if he gets three, let's say if he gets 3 for $100 and the long-term deals at the money that he wants aren't there, and then he can go play for the Yankees for a year, hit 40 home runs hitting behind Aaron Judge, re-enter the market at 31, you know, that might be enticing for him. We don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't know. If it's a 7-8 year deal that's going to take to get Pete Alonso, I would be very hesitant to do that. But at the same time, what are the Yankees going to do at first base? Okay, so you want to go, let's talk about that. You want to go stopgap? Fine, go get Paul Goldschmidt or go sign Christian Walker, do a 2-year deal. Or what, you know, whatever, you can DFA him at the end of the year, trade him at the end of the year, whatever you want to do, right? Fine, go do that. Then you have to go out there, and what are you going to do? You're going to chase Murakami? If I believe that's it. I always forget this guy's name. We talked about him last week. Again, is that a guarantee he's coming to the Yankees? I know Yankee fans have had their sights set on him for a long time. Is that a guarantee? Is that something you're going to be able to pull off? The Yankees were confident as anything that they were going to get Yamamoto. He wanted to go play in L.A. Again,
I think they all want to go play in L.A.
Oh, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a free agent.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
He's a free agent and has openly said he hates the Yankees. So if Pete Alonso not going to take a 3-year deal, we could go and say that Guerrero is definitely not going to come here.
You know, I think Vlad Guerrero is a hell of a player, but he, you know, you guys have your problems with the personalities of Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman. This is the biggest D-bag of them all. And he hates the Yankees.
Hates the Yankees.
I'm not going to lie and tell you that Vlad Guerrero protecting Aaron Judge for the next 3 or 4 years wouldn't be sexy as hell.
Oh, it would be very nice.
But I can't see that happening. And then what's he going to keep? He's a great player. He should have won the MVP a couple years ago. I would have given it to him over Ohtani. He's a great player. He's top 10, top 15 in the sport. And I hate his guts, and I'm willing to tell you that, right? You think he's going to come here for peanuts?
Yeah, I don't like him, but I love him to play for us.
And you're going to have, and for him to really be enticed by the Yankees are going to have to really shell out.
Yeah, that'll be a Yankee tax.
And for sure, you know, he's backed off. I would never play for the Yankees comments. Why? Because you need the Yankees involved.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to go there, you need them involved because that's one of the biggest bidders out there. And other teams are like, well, the Yankees aren't going to be involved. So we know he's not going to go to a certain level on this contract here.
I imagine his agent having a coronary when he heard that.
Absolutely.
You don't see.
There's not one player in the world that doesn't matter who it is. I mean, there might be the slimmest of people. Ken Griffey Jr. might be like the sole example because he felt his dad was disrespected by the Yankees, but you're hitting free agency. You're not taking the Yankees out of the equation if you want to get paid, even if it's not by them, just to let everybody else know the Yankees are interested in you.
Yeah. It drives up the price. If you think you got a bid against the Yankees it doesn't make sense. That's like going to the car dealership and telling the car, I love this car. It's perfect. You know what I'm saying? They got you by the balls then. So when you take a walk,
you never walk into the first house you see with a realtor and say, I love it.
Yeah.
You gotta point out the cracks in it first. Because they know they got you over the barrel right there.
No, but I would love to see Guerrero come here in a year, but I just don't think that's feasible.
So again, if you want to look at first base, the Yankees need a first baseman. This is even if 22 came back here, okay? Even if that player came back to the Yankees, first base was the number one priority for this team. And technically, we still haven't solved it.
No.
Because Bellinger's here. He could play first base. He could play center field. It all depends on what the Yankees want to do. So do you like in this hypothetical world, do you like a Yankee team better constructed with Pete Alonso at first base and Cody Bellinger in center field and Jason Dominguez at left field? Or do you want Cody at first and then a shit show in the outfield, which is what it would probably turn out to be?
Or Ben Rice at first.
I like Ben Rice. I really do like the kid. But after what I saw last year, I don't know. I really don't know.
I'd be nervous.
You can't tell me that you're trying to get back to the World Series and then you had all these first basemen at your disposal. And Ben Rice is starting at first base on opening day. Yeah. This is like, I'm not saying that this first base class is the level of what it was a few years ago with the shortstop class with Seager and all those guys. And the Yankees passed and they stuck IKF out there so they could give Anthony Volpe the job. But the problem here with that is that we don't need another IKF situation where you give a job to a guy that shouldn't have it, being Ben Rice. And number two, the Yankees had their golden child in waiting. Now, he hasn't fully turned out to be that yet, but that was their plan. They don't have that guy at first base.
How did Ben Rice get called up to play first base?
Because they had nobody else to do it.
Yeah, but like, he was a catcher in Double-A a month prior.
Right. We were there watching him catch Garrett Cole.
Yes, and then I'm sitting there texting you. I'm like, wasn't he just catching? You're like, no. And then you looked up. You're like, he was. Because like, he was such an unknown person. And then I think he went to AAA like the week after we were there. And then all of a sudden, he's a first baseman. I was like, what?
Well, there was a need, and he had played a little first base, but it was really seemed like the Yankees were more committed to him catching. They thought so much of him as a catcher, at least, that's the guy that got the call when Garrett Cole was down there.
He can get catching. Why are they? Is Trevino here?
Yeah, he's still here at the moment.
No, but is he here this year, or do they move him? What's the other? What's the prospect's name? They brought him up last year.
Who, Narvaez?
That was it. Yeah.
Somebody in the chat can verify. Didn't the Yankees just move him somewhere? I feel like I saw that somewhere. He got moved.
So it'll be Wells, Trevino. That's another guy I don't want to freaking see anymore.
Narvaez got traded to the Red Sox. Didn't the Yankees get international slot money for him?
International slot money. That's what they called me in high school.
Yeah, you were the slot money?
I was. International slot money.
So, I mean, look around. Look at that lineup with Pete Alonso's name in it. It does look a lot better than it currently does. And again, I'm not saying that he would take a short-term deal, but let's see how the market bears out. I could be wrong. Maybe he'll sit there till the end of March like Bryce Harper did and get a 10-year deal from someone. I don't know. I'm just saying these are things that you can look at. Same thing with Alex Bregman, man. Like the Yankees, I think it's the Yankees again. They have to fill first base, and then you can do whatever else you want at second or third. Really, you have to fill first base with somebody that's going to hit 35 home runs. Figure out how to do it, right? Again, Alex Bregman, the market's not there. You know, people expected he's the next guy off the board. There was no way he was going to leave the winter meetings without being signed. It's almost 3 weeks later now. He's still not signed.
Oh. I think half that probably is because he's a cheater.
So, you know, can the Yankees, again, is that a situation where the Yankees can get creative and say the same thing? Here's 3 years, high AAV, opt-outs after the first 2 years. Take it or leave it. You know, another name you keep hearing, or are the Twins looking to move Carlos Correa? And you want to talk about cheaters? Guy's a gamer, though. Has trouble staying healthy.
He had a shit. He had a career low the year. I'm stuttering bad today. He had a career low year last year. I know he's been declining, but he's getting to be older too. He's in his mid. He's getting up to 32, 33. No, something like that. His ankle.
Yeah, well, remember the Mets signed him, then the Giants signed him, or vice versa, and they both backed off because of the medicals.
Yep. I like him in Toronto. I like to kick his ass.
He'll turn 31 in September.
I thought he was older.
Nah, Carlos Correa played in 86 games last year because of injury, but I mean that's the thing with him. 99, then 153, 109, 110, 75, 148, 136, 135, 86. The guy misses time. But I mean, look at these. You know, he had a 905 OPS last year in those 86 games. It's interesting. I mean, what would the Twins want for him? He plays shortstop. Could you move him to third base? Move Jazz back to second, and then maybe you could sell somebody on doing a Goldie and Ben Rice platoon. The problem is that, as I was saying earlier, Jeff Passan said the Yankees could be better off without him. Now you look at the Yankees lost three players. They lost the right fielder, they lost Clay Holmes, and they lost Nestor Cortez, right? They replaced them with Cody Bellinger, Max Fried, and Devin Williams. Fried is an upgrade over Nestor Cortez. Williams is an upgrade over Clay Holmes, and Bellinger's not an upgrade.
No,
he's not an upgrade, but it is a versatile piece that fits this team.
Well, Bellinger's an upgrade defensively. He's not an upgrade offensively.
No, for sure. I mean, he's definitely an upgrade defensively. If no, he plays, it's not, if he plays the outfield.
Does it even itself out? I don't think it evens itself out. I think Soto. That's it. I said his name. Shoot me.
Put a dollar in a swear jar.
That's it. That guy on the other side. He was obviously much, much more, much better offensively, but I mean defensively, Bellinger's better.
Max Kepler, who people thought was better than Aaron Judge, 31 years old now, has never nearly gotten to the level of Aaron Judge. Is apparently signing a 1-year deal with the Phillies.
Phillies.
So, I saw his name pop up in the chat. But it doesn't look like he's going to be an option. You know, the Yankees really need to figure this out here and clog up these outfield holes, because I can't go on social media anymore and had see people suggest bringing Alex Verdugo back. How are we not done with that?
Yeah, but that's what everybody does. Everybody wants, like, oh, sign Rizzo back. Bring Rizzo back. Everyone's talking, oh. Can there be a reunion between Glaber and the Yankees? Like, why even suggest something like that? Ugh, he'll be cheap. I don't care. But would you rather see them sign Rizzo for one more year, or have Paul Goldschmidt as your first baseman?
I know for a fact that Rizzo's cooked. I don't know that Goldschmidt is, so I would take a run at him.
I'd rather look at somebody I actually... like.
So Correa is not a free agent until after the 2032 season. He has vesting options in 29, 30, 31, and 32. He'll make $37 million this year, 32 next year, 31, 31, and then when the options kick in, it goes down to 25, 20, 15, and 10. So he's got to get 507. He's got to get anywhere between 500 and 575 plate appearances, depending on the year, for the options to vest. So, I don't know. Just looking at different things the Yankees can do here, because they do need to improve this offense. I think the pitching staff is coming along nicely. You got Cole Fried, Rodon, Schmidt, and Heel. That's the best rotation in the American League. And then the bullpen with Devin Williams at the back end. Now you move Weaver to the setup role here.
Yeah, and then if Loaisiga could stay healthy, that'd be nice. Go Loaisiga, Weaver.
And Ian Hamilton's Williams. Here again. A guy's got to stay healthy. Stay on the fucking field, please, with those two guys. And then if you bring back, they need a lefty in there. You know, Tim Hill, I liked what I saw at Tim Hill. Let's see if we can get him back in here. You know, now you're five deep. And then Brian Cashman, that's the one really good thing that he does really, really well is these reclamation projects in the bullpen. So I'm not really worried about that too much. He made his big move here and bringing in Devin Williams, and he didn't give up a lot here. He gave up Nestor Cortez, so the contracts are a wash in the sense that Nestor's in his walk year, and so is Devin Williams. And you got to give a lot of credit to Brian Cashman here because, you know, people, you know, shit on him and his aggressiveness sometimes, and he wanted Devin Williams. And he got him because Devin Williams admitted this when he met with the media the other day that, and this is what I had heard following some people from LA, is that it was pretty close to Devin Williams going to the Dodgers. And Brian Cashman
swooped in at the last second.
He swooped in and he got him.
Swooped in.
I mean, that's just fucking insanity, though. The Dodgers were close to getting Devin Williams on top of every other friggin' thing that they've done.
Yeah, it's.
You're not shitting. You're not lying when you're saying they're trying to assemble the Dodgers and Major League, the Avengers.
Avengers.
Major
League. No, it really is, and it makes you like wonder, like you know, they like salary caps and stuff like that. Like it's they're a runaway train. That's getting to be ridiculous. When you talk about buying a World Series, they are legitimately in every sense of the way trying to buy a World Series. I don't know if the Yankees did that because when I was they were doing that, I was too young to really know what the hell was going on. So I'm not going to, and I've never went back and looked at contract signings and how much they cost back then. I just know I like my players. But this is like egregious.
I think the idea that the Yankees bought those titles is a little overblown because they were built around guys that came up through the farm system.
No. So, and the Dodgers are just saying, hey, you're good. Mine.
Now, did the Yankees buy the World Series in 2009? Yeah, that was a bought championship. I'll admit that one. But that dynasty was not bought. That was through smart drafting and scouting that they built that team.
Is that your dog?
You okay?
No, it's not my dog. It's my daughter.
Oh. Hi.
Jason said hi.
I like her.
He's on the computer. You want to see him? No, she's too shy. She doesn't want to.
Oh, she could be the other co-host. Like her more than us.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So we'll see what happens here. We're approaching Christmas. This is our last show of 2024. We're going to take off next week because the show would fall on the day after Christmas. So we'll see what happens as we lead into the new year. Do the Yankees have any more tricks up their sleeves? Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe we'll get a Christmas miracle. Maybe the polar bear will come here for Christmas.
Maybe, baby, as they say.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. If you told me a couple years ago, we'd be thinking like, oh, maybe Carlos Correa or Alex Bregman would come here or Pete Alonso. I'd be like, you're lying. That's funny. But here we are.
And that's the thing about another thing about Brian Cashman is that there was no smoke to this Devin Williams trade at all. You didn't hear a peep about it. And sometimes that's a good thing, which I believe this Devin Williams trade will be. And sometimes it's a bad thing because we didn't hear a dick about the Wash Donaldson trade. And then that happened.
Well, no, it was. And Caleb Durbin, as far as we know, was the starting second baseman. The next thing you know, him and Nestor out the door.
You know,
no one expected that.
And this is for Kev, okay? This is for Kev. Pete, holler at him. Let him know this is for Kev. Now that we don't have to look at that mustached bum gimmick with the trolling pirouettes on the mound anymore. Okay. Bye bye, Nestor. No, but in all seriousness, man, I got to give a lot of credit to Nestor Cortez. The guy It's one thing I always said about Nestor Cortez is that you knew he pitched with guts and that the moment wasn't going to be too big for him. He was a very serviceable pitcher for the Yankees. He pitched above his talent level here, gave the Yankees a lot of big innings, a lot of quality innings. There's nothing bad that I can truly say about Nestor Cortez's tenure here with the Yankees, honest to God. And I'm saying that with 100%, you know, no sarcasm or whatsoever. Nestor was a really good Yankee. It was time for Nestor Cortez to go. I'm glad that he's not here anymore. I know I said a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, if I had the choice between Nestor and Stroman, I'd keep Nestor. That's just how much I respect Nestor and his ability to be versatile and help this team out. But, I mean, you got an all-star closer. You got a guy that nobody thinks is worse than the fourth-best closer in baseball, a guy that's pitched to a sub-2 ERA in his career, got the one of the most disgusting pitches in all of Major League Baseball. That's what the cost was to get him here. And it allows Luke Weaver to do what Luke Weaver really does, put out fires, be a multi-inning reliever, be that guy to lead into the closer. This is a great move for the Yankees. It's no disrespect to Nestor Cortez whatsoever. And if Caleb Durbin ended up being the sweetener, then so be it, man, because this is a move made to win this year. It really was. Again, this is a move you can't hate. It was a move made to win in 2025.
Yes. It just sucks that Nestor, his last thing that we'll remember is him giving up that home run at the end of the, you know, you wish that, because he was such a, that was such a good story. It was like a, oh, makes me feel tingly thing, the way he, was he 27th draft? It was something crazy. He was picked, well, got traded, went here, went there, came back, did this, then all of a sudden, I was like, hey, look at me, I'm pitching awesome. So he was like the little engine that could, is kind of what he was. And to have him, that be his last, like, big play for us, that kind of sucks. But, you know, now he could go over. Hopefully he'll do good things over there. He's one player that I just, you know, you want to see him do good.
I'm not rooting against him. No. There's no reason to root against Nestor Cortez. I hope he has a really good year with Milwaukee and gets the bat, you know, as big of a bag as he can get from somebody in free agency in 2025. I have no bad feeling towards Nestor Cortez whatsoever. I got frustrated with the gimmicky bullshit, and then, you know, the pump fake was really just a low point for me when he did that against Cleveland. But for what his talent truly is to what we got out of him, I have nothing but respect for Nestor Cortez, honest to God. But he's a bum.
I still like a bobbleleg. I thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
I have the bobbleleg.
I know, but I should have gotten one. I won't be getting rid of my nasty Nestor shirts. And if I had his jersey hanging on my wall, I wouldn't be wanting to throw it out like I have with my.
No, I have an autograph. We went and met him. His autograph. I had him autograph a ball for me. It's back there somewhere. I have two of his bobbleheads. They're not getting taken down, man.
Yankee.
He was a solid Yankee, man. You know, they're not going to build a monument to him or anything, but he was a solid Yankee, dude. That's all you can have. You know, we've seen bigger and better players come here and just puke all over themselves and not be able to handle New York and being a Yankee. And you had a guy that really had dog shit worth of talent.
Had no business.
Compared to what a major leaguer is, not compared to us, obviously, but compared to what a major leaguer is, had no business being as good as he actually was and not scared to be put in the position and put in the moments that he was put in, right? You know, that's going to ultimately, you know, fans want to say that's ultimately going to be his legacy, giving up the Grand Slam to Freddie Freeman. That's unfair to him, in my opinion. But also, you know what? He had the balls to want to be put in that position. I don't hate him for it. I hate Aaron Boone for doing it. But I don't hate him for wanting the ball in that spot, because I guarantee you, there's a lot of guys that don't have the nutsack to get on the mound in that spot, and he did.
No, well, see, I'll always like Nestor, because he was the pitcher the day that your godson was born.
L.I., L.I. No. Let me tell you something right now, bro. I'm not going to stop with the can they handle New York shit because I'm 41 years old and I've been watching it happen before you were swimming in your father's nutsack, okay? I've been watching guys that can't come that come here and can't handle playing in New York, okay? We, on the one of the worst, you and I, Jason, on one of the worst days in our life, together, you and I watched Sonny Gray laugh as he got his ass kicked on the mound at Yankee Stadium. We were getting ready to go bury her grandmother watching this guy get the shit kicked out of him. He's been an all-star everywhere else he's been. Can't handle New York, okay? That's just one example. Don't tell me to stop with that. Because, guy, you have to be a special breed to handle the media, the lights, the expectations, the pressure. Exactly. Not everybody is built for that.
Yeah, most fan bases don't start making jokes about Giancarlo Stanton banging their new guys. What, you know what I'm saying? Like, we are a special, unique kind of fan base.
Yeah, thank you, Retro Tony.
You're not intimidated by that.
Joey Gallo.
Yeah, I was Joey Gallo, Andrew Benintendi.
Not built. Joey Gallo. There were people in the Yankee front office that told Brian Cashman, this guy is not built for this city. He didn't listen. And what happened? Tell me what happened to Joey Gallo.
Trash.
Pete, thank you. Carl Pavano crashed the car into a tree not to pitch here. Come on. Oh, my God. You can't – please, do not ever say that playing in New York is not a thing, because it is. It totally is a fucking thing. And that's another thing that that really attracts me to Pete Alonso. He's not scared to play here.
The amount of traffic you got to sit in to get to the stadium would probably mess up most pitchers. It would frustrate the hell out of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you think that there's no extra pressure pitching in New York, whether it's at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, I do you live around here, or are you like a Minnesota Yankee fan? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure that, you know, Pete, I know he's your boy. I know you love him, man. But I'm not even sure Carlos Rodon is actually made for New York.
Nope. It doesn't seem that way.
You know, the jury's still out on him. A guy that came in here with all the fanfare, set, 9-figure contract.
Yeah, supposed to be the second ace. Sucks a lot of the times, and you
blowing
got
kisses, talk, you know, I mean, that whole, whole thing,
and
come on,
fuck yous. Yeah, no, he's not a panning out to be what he's supposed to
you
be.
You know who can't handle New York? Giancarlo Stanton, built for this city. There's no superstar athlete that has dealt with the shit that Giancarlo Stanton has dealt with and handled it better than Giancarlo Stanton. The amount of disrespect that guy gets is unbelievable. Put this team on his back in October, and he lets you guys shit on him from the very second that he put on pinstripes, let you shit on him, never had a cross word for you. Yeah, I deserve it.
And always says the right thing. Always
you've been here
says
5 minutes.
Right
you've been here 5 minutes. They're booing you. Yeah, I deserve it.
Yeah.
Show that man some respect.
One of the best postseason players we'll probably ever see in our life, and people shit all over him. But playing in New York isn't a thing.
Playing in New York is a thing. You want to say sometimes it gets overblown? Okay. Sometimes it gets overblown, but it is a thing for sure. 100%. And not just for the Yankees. I mean, you can look at guys that have come to New York in other sports that just don't know how to handle the expectations put on these teams. This is a different beast here in New York, man.
It's a lot different playing for the Oakland A's than it is playing for the Yankees. Playing small market versus gigantic market.
You know, people said, and people have said, oh, you know, was, you know, I was called, somebody called me silly because they made a joke about Cody Bellinger and Giancarlo Stanton. Is it really that silly when your wife dated a guy whose nickname is Dick Bick, and that Dick Bick is going to shower next to you now?
That's like a tongue twister for me. I'm not even going to try to say that.
Because people, they were breaking, you know, because they brought this up on Boomer and Gio the other day, and Gio was asking Boomer, he's like, come on, dude, in all the years you were in the NFL, you never had a situation where one guy dated another guy's wife or current girlfriend. And he's like, yeah, he goes, it's happened. That's why it's overblown. It's not a big deal. People are making a big deal about this Cody Bellinger thing. Were any of those guys nicknamed Dig Bick? Were they? That's what makes this one a little different. It's not like you're walking in and Average Joe, your guy's nickname is Average Joe, and he's the one that was with your wife. Dig Bick was with your wife. Okay? I'm just saying.
You're silly.
Cody Bellinger's going to have to get a peek at that at some point. He's got to know for sure, right?
Oh, God.
Because I bet you he's asked his wife, are the rumors true? He's like, ah, it's just a myth. He's going to have to know for sure. That's the perfect segue. It is Christmas time here. We are 6 days away from Christmas. So Merry Christmas to everybody.
And Saint Nick and Dig Bick.
Saint Nick and Dig Bick. There you go. See, this is why you're here, to put those two things together. And as my Christmas present to our loyal listeners of the NYYST podcast, I was granted the first interview with this person since the former right fielder signed with the New York Mets. Everybody's been trying to get a word with him. I got a few minutes with him last night, and this is an NYYST exclusive. Pete, could you please play the interview? Christian of the NYYST podcast here with a very special guest, Yankees managing general partner Hal Steinbrenner. Hal, it's the holiday season. We know you're very busy, but thank you very much for taking a few moments here to speak with us.
It is the holiday season. Thank you for having me at this special time of year. It is a pleasure to be here and join you, Christian, on your program. Let's keep things civil here tonight.
Well, Hal, there's not. I don't have an ill will towards you, as many fans shouldn't. You did go above and beyond in your pursuit of Juan Soto. You offered him $760 million. He chose to go to Queens. Just take us through the negotiation, how you felt when you were negotiating with him, and then ultimately how you felt when you got the word that he wasn't going to be coming back to the Yankees.
Well, it was a difficult process. It was. That was not easy to see that final result was difficult. Having said that, this is for me, I feel I am the only person who can say this, that this is bittersweet for me. On one hand, yes, we do lose Juan Soto, future Hall of Famer. He's not going to be playing in this side of New York. But on the other hand, I didn't just lose $800 million to one player. So there is that. So that's the emotion, I'd say, for me, is a bit of bittersweetness, a bit of bitterness. Having said that, we turn the page. We move on, Christian. You know that deal.
I do know that deal, Hal. I do want to touch on one important piece of information that came out during the whole negotiation process, is that apparently Juan was very upset with how some of your security members handled some members of his inner circle, his dad, you know, his personal chef. Have you fired that mean security guard, or will he be harassing new Yankees such as Cody Bellinger and Max Fried in 2025?
Well, I can't get into the specifics here tonight, Christian, but I will say that he no longer works in the organization. I cannot say that this was a firing, but rather maybe even a promotion. I hear there are many drones flying around. We might need some security out there in the big, big world, the things that are bigger than this business. So there are rumors that our security guy is now leading a team of operatives to try and figure out this drone mystery that we are dealing with now on down the tri-state area. So some one man's trash, perhaps, Christian, is another man's treasure, as we see here tonight.
A little reassignment. Okay, I can get down with that, Hal. My other big question to you is, what are your feelings on Steve Cohen? After he went out there, he outbid you for Juan Soto. And during Juan Soto's introductory press conference, he did say you guys are friends. What is your relationship like with Steve Cohen?
Well, there is a saying out there, Christian. They say to keep your millionaire friends close and keep your billionaire friends closer. So no matter what, I do see a relationship being there with Steve. We are in the philanthropy business, as he's famously quoted as saying. Having said that, there is a little bit of a dispute here, I suppose, in some ways. But it is a business, and we are both a couple pair of billionaires here, Christian, and we want to stay on that fine line of business operations.
So it was revealed also through these negotiations that Juan Soto's mom apparently was giving a spending allowance to buy new clothes. I have a source. I can't tell you who it is because I don't want you to get, this person get in trouble here. But apparently you did offer to kind of seal the deal with Max Fried. You offered his mom an Old Navy gift card.
Oh.
Do you care to comment on that?
That is absolutely not true. It was a gift card to Gap Incorporated, which not only includes Old Navy, all right? That is a parent company, the Gap Incorporated. So the gift card can be used at Old Navy. It could also be used at the Gap, of course. And my favorite store, Banana Republic, is also in play here for her to use.
Oh, so you're a big Banana Republic guy. I didn't know that.
I love that store. You could get it's a little pricey on certain days, but I do enjoy it. And you know, listen, I mean, there isn't just that for the Fried family. We will be changing some items, some names of our food items at the stadium. We will have the Fried Chicken Bucket. We'll have the Fried Shrimp Platter. Fried ice cream. So we are catering. We gave her flowers. We gave the Fried family flowers today. It was nice. So the menu change, a lot of good things to come for those who are trying to come on board here.
Yes, I believe Max was very appreciative of the flowers. So
Fried fries,
there you go. I'm going to be looking forward to picking up the Fried fries at the stadium.
Right.
Now, Hal, one of my biggest criticisms of you throughout the course of this podcast isn't necessarily how much money you spend. It's who you allow to spend your money. Now, granted, I do think Brian Cashman has done a very good job pivoting from losing Juan Soto in the moves that he's made thus far, but I also do feel that Brian Cashman has overstayed his welcome here as the Yankees GM. The fans want to know why you have refused to get rid of Brian Cashman and what exactly does he know about you that you don't want to get out to the public?
Well, this is somewhat of a touchy subject for me because I've heard this narrative and I'm here to squash it. All right, me and Brian are like brothers. We've been in this industry together for a very long time. So this makes me a bit emotional, Christian. It does. And you do not want me to hear, I'll come on your show and I'm going to pull a John Heyman here. I might have to freak out here and hang up on you.
No, we don't want to go there. I understand that Brian Cashman is essentially the third Steinbrenner.
Can you believe this? I can't believe it.
I get it. He's essentially the third Steinbrenner brother. Okay, I get it. So
he's a close friend.
Can you just say yes or no contract for life in regards to Brian Cashman?
Nothing's for life.
Okay, nothing's for life. You heard it here. Nothing is for life. Hal, I do have one final question for you here. I understand you're a very busy guy, and we appreciate that you're giving your first comments since the Juan Soto negotiations didn't go your way to us exclusively here on the NYYST podcast. So I do appreciate that. So I'll let you go on this. Hal, as a Merry Christmas gift, parting gift, Happy New Year, whatever you want to say, Do you have a message for the Yankee fans that still continue to say that you are cheap despite offering one player $760 million to play baseball for you and then turning around and setting a record for a left-handed pitcher and signing Max Fried?
Yeah, let me start by saying have a very happy and healthy, first and foremost. But let me just remind those that are tuning in, those that are listening right now, I just offered one person about 67% of my net worth. So that alone answers your question. It becomes rhetorical at that point. 67% of my net worth was just on the line for one player. I'll leave it at that. Have a happy and healthy. Happy and healthy to all of you listeners as well.
Well, Hal, I want to thank you very much for taking a few minutes and spending it here with us on this wonderful evening of about a week before Christmas. A heartfelt happy and healthy to you and yours, Hal, and thank you very much for this exclusive interview with the NYYST podcast.
Thank you, Christian. This was fun. We'll do it again.
Yes, thank you, Hal. Well, there you have it. The first words from the managing general partner since the negotiations and took you through it and how they landed Max Fried. That's a NYYST exclusive right there. Did you know that? I didn't know that. That was news to me. A Banana Republic gift card sealed the deal with Max Fried?
That's nuts. I was waiting for him to start screaming about Man Bear Pig. So I can't believe you didn't call me for this interview.
Slim Lewis, it's called a joke, bro. Like, everybody needs to lighten up a little bit. Jesus Christ, man. Adults understand that people had lives before they met him. It's also called a joke. Let's be serious. Let's just be serious and not have any fun on the show anymore, okay? Is that it? That should be the New Year's resolution for everybody? You want to do that? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know you're going to be at Yankee Stadium on opening day. So are you going to have the Fried fries?
Who, me?
Fried chicken bucket?
I want deep Fried Oreos.
Damn, that could have been a good one.
Deep Fried Oreos. Yeah.
Maybe we'll bring that up to, he called me from a private number, so I don't know if I'll be able to get back.
R69. Maybe that'll still work.
Yeah, but that was last night, you know. Be tough to get him back on the horn here. But that was our Christmas present to our loyal listeners here. Thank you so much for all your support throughout the course of 2024 here. It's been a great year for the NYYST podcast. It's been a great year for NYY Underground. And as I always say, we wouldn't be here without you guys. The growth of this community has just been tremendous in 2024. As you guys know, this show has undergone a massive facelift here with a new co-host. And you guys are still here, still supporting the show in a big way. I cannot thank you guys enough for that. And just honestly, from the bottom of my heart, from my family to yours, just have a wonderful, happy, and healthy holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. Whatever you celebrate, may it be the most joyous of times for you and your family. You guys are the best group of fans out there, and we are only still here because of you. So thank you very much. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody. The NYYST podcast will be back live here on NYY Underground on January 2nd. So everybody, enjoy your holidays with your families. Sam, if you want to say anything before we say goodbye, I give you the floor right now.
98 days till March 27th. Under 100 days. That's all I got to say. And that's everything Christian said.
Yeah, everything I said. So I'm assuming March 27th is the exact date for opening day, right?
Opening day!
Against
under 100 days!
You know who the Yankees are playing on opening day?
I do, but I can't remember at the moment.
The Brewers.
Yes.
What if Nestor Cortez opening day started for the Yankees in 2024?
No, opening day's at like 3 o'clock this year.
Yeah.
Sucks.
What if Nestor gets the ball on opening day?
Oh my God. I'll cheer for him. Under 100 days. I'm so excited. The countdown begins.
Yes, the countdown to opening day begins. The countdown to Santa arriving is almost at the end here. So hopefully y'all have been good this year and you get everything you want, especially time with your loved ones. Enjoy it. We love you. Thank you so much again for the support. We will see you in 2025. Thank you again for listening and watching episode 441 of the NYYST podcast. Sem, say goodbye.
Adios.
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, and we ain't done yet. But a new